tall. Sonic, he can really move. Sonic, he's got an attitude. Sonic, he's the fastest thing alive.
Hello and welcome to the Nostalgia Roadshow, where we take the short bus of life and crash it into that wormhole we call pop culture. This is the podcast, the only podcast running on the Super FX chip and coded in blast processing. I'm your host, Edgar Velasco, and with me is a man who sees a blue streak speeds by so fast than the naked eye, Mr. Robert Maness. How are you?
Chili dogs!
Yeah, fucking chili dogs. Hey, Robert, if I told you, like, maybe 5 years ago, even, that Sonic the Hedgehog would be, like, the number one disgusting in the planet right now, would you call me a crazy idiot?
Probably, because back then we all knew the dark period in which Sonic went through, you know, angst teenage phase, growing up, and then, you know, going into, like, what, kissing princesses, and, Technicolor Woodland Critters, and originals of characters.
Anamorphic characters that talk and stand upright and all that shit. And
yeah, making out with human princesses.
Oh, God, yes. The horror that was Sonic 2006. That's definitely something that was considered to many the fucking final nail on the coffin of the franchise. Mm-hmm. But, you know...
But there were other ones, too. Let's not forget the one where he turned into a wolf hog, a werehog, or a man-wolf hog thingy.
Yes, Unleashed, which is the most cliche title you can ever put on something like that.
Yeah, and the most fucked up, like, what the fuck are you supposed to be doing gameplay? Or the one where he feels like a genie in a ring, or I am a knight in medieval times.
Yeah, and yet all the other existing characters exist in that world, but they just don't know who you are.
How fucked up is that? And then the times that they actually try to make a Sonic game where you just go fast, they still botched it up.
Yeah, because there was an official, quote-unquote, I say official, part 4 that never even made it past episode 2.
Yeah, because, I played a little bit of it, you know, and, I don't know, it was like the gameplay just did not feel, like, tight. You know, like, how all the Genesis games felt, like, nice and tight? They had, like, this, you know, they were weird, they were inconsistent, but they still had, like, this air of tightness around them.
And for those wondering what the hell are we talking about, we're talking about the fact that it took them 15 years to realize, you know what, let's just go back to, and it wasn't even Sega. Again, we're talking about Sonic Mania and how it pretty much brought back Sonic to the fold back once again.
Yeah, back to where he belongs, just going fast. Because Sega did not develop this one internally, they just supervised the project, but this was fan-developed.
And that's when you start to think about, like, in certain aspects, you know, the companies know better, and sometimes the fans don't really know much. But this is the one situation where the fans knew better and, you know, to what they wanted in a true Sonic game.
Yeah. See, like, you know, because, like, these are people in the Sonic community, though, that they're not the ones that are screaming about, look at my original, the character, or look at me like, you know, oh, I'm going to make Sonic and Amy make out all the time. No, these are guys that are just like, I'm going to recreate an engine that plays just like Sonic and much better. You get the retro engine, which powers the modern ports of 1, 2, and CD. You get a guy that's programmed how many ROM hacks and how many, like, remixes and everything of the original games. You get a guy who worked on the fucking Archie comics to do the art direction, and you get a guy from the community who's done Sonic remixes left and right to write original compositions.
You mean, Robert, you don't enjoy those Sonic and Amy super pregnant deviant art pictures?
I prefer not to discuss those.
Or the various, you know, Google yourself as a hedgehog. You know, put your name, the hedgehog, and you'll find your character with your name as a hedgehog in the Sonic Mobius universe, whatever.
Oh no! You want to hear something also very hilarious?
Mm.
Said artist of Archie Comics also created a parody video called Hedgehog the Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Sonic! I've kidnapped all your friends and turned them into robots.
That literally sounds like fucking any... That sounds like a special episode, like a special Ed episode of the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon.
Oh, and guest starring Nipples the Enchilada.
And that's no good.
What's wrong with Nipples the Enchilada? He can break through stone with his rock-hard fist nipples.
No,
boy,
but...
It's kind of chilly today, huh?
It's interesting to know that... But here's the thing. like video games, you know, with the advancements of technology, whatever, and all that stuff. It's weird that to go forward, it went back to the most simplest of things, just three buttons.
Yeah, in order to move one step forward, you have to take two steps back and look back.
But then you realize that, like, that franchise became too complicated to the point where it's like, his main purpose, go fucking fast. But yeah. Then you put in all these other elements that didn't do nothing to help the franchise at all.
No, it's like you just tied like a bunch of anchors around Sonic's neck. How can he go fast that way?
Yeah, and it became so much that it literally just became, you were happy when he went fast, but then when he just slowed down to get in the plot and the stories were horrible, that, you know, and even some character redesigns, yeah. You know what? Hey, people like the Sonic Boom cartoon. I'm not going to doubt him. I heard it's actually funny. But
yeah, the Sonic Boom cartoon is literally like the Seinfeld of Sonic.
But again, you know, people weren't really up to... They don't like the games because the games, you know, still changed the formula. And here's the thing that sucks about it, that Sonic was never given a chance to even, you know, like... Every game was something new. They tried to change it and everything. Like, it was never allowed to even breathe. Like, hey, maybe some people did like the whole Sonic Unleashed engine, but guess what? It was a one-and-done thing. Hey, maybe there were some people that liked 2006, but again, that was one-and-done. Heck, Sonic Colors and all those other games, like, each installment was something new, quickly.
Too drastic.
To where you couldn't even, like, okay, I'm adjusted to this. Let's see what the new game has that will better off the controls. No, we'll start again from scratch. It was never even allowed to breathe, you know, or even have a successful sequel from what the previous title had that might have fixed the bugs or the complaints, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, even on, like, the handheld side of things, I think there were only, like, two games that came, like, really close to capturing the original Genesis formula, and that was Sonic Advance and Sonic Rush.
That's right, because after that it became, like, an RPG almost, and, you know...
Said Black Knight.
Yeah, and Sonic in the Ring, whatever. But it became something, and the fact that all it took is take all that stuff away, strip everything, strip the advancements of controlling, camera work, and everything, and just go back to the core basics, and... Everybody is fucking creaming their pants.
Yeah, because it does. It's just like strip everything away and just focus on what it is. Those crazy ass stages that you run around in really, really fast, grab a bunch of rings, beat up a bunch of robots, go into some bonus stages and get some cool stuff and maybe get the real ending. And that's basically it. And you got three characters and that's it. You got Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, and no one else.
Exactly. And, It's funny that we bring back Sonic, and yet, you know, and then, like, Sonic, it wasn't, like, a couple of weeks ago that it was announced that fucking Bubsy's making a comeback?
Because, like, the minute that Sonic became wildly successful for Sega, everybody was just kind of like, we now have to have the mascot with attitude.
Okay, now,
that's where the drove of them came in.
And I'm going to read you a couple of these failed mascots. And you tell me, what was it about them that failed? I'll give you the full, a good chunk of the list. You know, we have...
I've got a couple myself, too, that we could probably also cover, too.
You know, we have fucking Zero the Kamikaze Squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
We have Glover. We have fucking Awesome Possum. We have Rocky Rodent. We have Gex. We have James Pond. Heck, we even have fucking Buck Bumble. We have Ty the Tasmanian Tiger. We have fucking, you know, even to an extent, you know, what is it? Blinks, the Time Cat.
Blinks the Time Sweeper.
Fuck you, Time Sweeper, my dick. Time Sweep.
Oh, that's what it was called.
Time Sweep, my dick. How's that?
Oh, God. Oh, you want to hear a really funny punchline, too?
And even to an extent, you know, if it wasn't for good developers, Crash Bandicoot, you know, could have been one of the next one. Crash could have been one of those lost idols. Oh, don't forget Bug. Fucking, I already said Gex, but it's so bad that I need to mention it twice. You know.
Oh, and I know a couple from my end, too. Jazz Jackrabbit.
Fucking.
Ninja of the Nth Dimension.
Woolly Wombat. fucking.
Oh, another game I remember playing on DOS, too. Fire and Ice, starring Cool Coyote.
Oh, and even to an extent, fucking Cool Spot.
Oh, you know what? It's really
Chester Cheetah. Don't forget fucking Chester Cheetah, even though
Chester Cheetah, he was so 90s, he had to have a video game. No, he had two video games.
He had two fucking video games, motherfucker. He warranted a sequel.
Too cool to fool.
And in like all of these had the one thing going for them that they were all trying to steal that thunder of that trouser wearing plumber and that fucking blue hedgehog who at the time you know this like I said talk about this 5 years ago I would have said I'll take anything but a Sonic remake or whatever.
It's screwed up, isn't it? Yeah. But going down like some of them. I mean, like, so much it's, like, destined to fail because you could tell there were obvious cash grabs. Like, fucking Awesome Possum. Oh, let's God. Do an environmentally, aware video game where you're playing a possum who's just awesome and he, like, runs real fast. Except for the problem that he fucking slips and slides all over the place like he's got butter on his fucking feet.
Also, he's fucking insecure as fuck. Where every time he collects an item, he fucking says, "Oh, I'm awesome! I'm awesome! What are you fucking insecure about yourself?"
I'm so awesome. Yeah, he's like either very egotistical, or he has to constantly remind himself of his fragile little soul. He's just like, I have to be positive. I have to be positive. I have to be positive. I have to be upbeat. My therapist says I have to be upbeat, and it is like He can't fucking control him for the life of anything because he just constantly, like, rams into everything. Just kind of like, oh, I hit an enemy, I hit an enemy, I hit an enemy. It was like, hard to play. It was garbage.
And when you said cash-ins, it's true. Because some of the, like, these games came out, like, fucking, like, on the minute after one after the other. Like, there wasn't even time to fucking breathe. Like, you saw, like I mentioned, like, fucking Errol the Acrobat, Gex, and all these other fucking mascots. Sure, some of them got, a sequel.
Some of them were good, but yeah, some of them were shit too.
Yeah, and some of them, were warranted a sequel or two, but overall, they were all, the main thing was, to try to cash in, on that, and all of them are, fail miserably, and are only mentioned, like, with idiots like...
if you remember them.
Yeah, with idiots like us, but then, when one's popular again, the others try to milk that cow once again. Again, what happens? Fucking Bubsy's coming back, and that game still looks like shit, and I never understood the appeal to that fucking Bobcat, because guess...
Oh, God, yes, he's the same thing. He's like... loudmouth makes a whole ton of noise because he's another character like Awesome Possum that never shuts his fucking yap.
Here's the thing about those. I never understood those characters. Like, where did that trait come from? Because Sonic didn't even talk. The only time he ever talked was the fucking cartoon, and none of the games were in that canon.
Yeah, and none of those games had dialogue at that time. I think what it was, it's just like, oh, we can make a game that one-ups Sonic. Because look, our characters have personality. Yeah, they had the kind of personality you want to put a fucking bullet between their head.
They literally had 90s personality. Tude. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Wearing glasses.
But, like, some of them, though, like, the gameplay, like, playing some of those is like, some of them were probably good. Some of them really sucked. I mean, like, the aforementioned Bubsy the Bobcat.
How the hell?
You can't control him for the life of anything. He rams into everything just like, completely like, la 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 la, oh, enemy, I don't care if you hit the jump button, I'm going to throw myself in the enemy's face.
Also, not to mention, how the hell do you have fall damage in a flat platformer when you land on another platform?
Yeah, that's another fucked up thing, too. Like, why the hell do you do that? I would expect that maybe in a game where, like, you're trying to go for a little bit more realism, but we're suspending disbelief.
But the fact that the platformer. But the fact that the creation of Bubsy is based on, like, old Warner Brothers and slapstick old cartoon, Merry Melodies, fucking Bob Clampett, Tex Avery.
That time again.
Tex Avery shit. You do that, like, that makes no fucking sense. And, in Awesome Possum, and, like, in Glover, Gex, fucking...
Gex had, like, another thing, too. Like, he started as a 2D platformer, and then he crossed over to the third dimension.
Yeah, but he was also, let's see, what's his... he's attitude, but guess what? Yeah, his
TV watching Echo.
He's... It's all based on fucking couch potatoing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the thing is, though, is that Gex, I played the original and I played the second game. I never bothered playing the third. And the first game is actually not a bad platformer. It's actually challenging, and it did actually have, like, good gameplay. It actually had, like, some tighter controls. It actually had a sense of, like, a semblance of actually feeling like a coherent game.
Yeah, although I prefer the European version because they have a British actor do his voice and it sounds better.
The actor actually got some funnier lines in that one.
Exactly, the American version with the American voice actor. It's kind of annoying.
I know. But the thing is, too, is that they also do a little bit more variation in the British versions, because the American versions, you can tell, you know, they try to cram in as much voice as possible, but it's like they were still running out of space because there's only, like, so many voice quips you can cram in memory.
Yeah, and again, people do remember Gex, you know, Croc. Oh, my God, I forgot fucking Croc, and that's a piece.
Oh, yeah. And you Croc, know, what was really funny about Croc is that that was originally supposed to be a Yoshi game, but Argonaut couldn't get the Yoshi license from Nintendo, so they just reworked it into an original character.
And, Oh, and fucking Buck Bumble? I'm sorry. You don't play Buck Bumble. You only listen to Buck Bumble.
Yeah, that's the only reason why you ever buy Buck Bumble is to just sit at the title screen and just hear, listen to Bump the Bass, but the Bump the Bass, Bump the Bass, or Buck Bumble. That's all you need it for, is to bump to the bass.
Yeah, no one really plays. You listen to Buck Bumble. You don't play that garbage.
No. So, like, another one, like I mentioned before, because, you know, being on PC, I had, you know, Jazz Jackrabbit for PC, which is, you know, same thing. You know, anthropomorphic rabbit with a big fucking gun, and he goes and he shoots like a bunch of turtle soldiers to rescue a rabbit princess.
You know, but okay, but here's the thing. You know, he had his audience in the PC world to the point.
Yeah, and yeah, like fast gameplay and everything. But the thing was, is that he played it really fast and loose because that game was very slippery at times to play.
No, again, they all try to emulate that
super speed action with, like, you know, this would be like if you know, Sonic ripped off Mega Man's arm cannon and started running around like that. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, but again, that blast, you know, apparently they thought blast processing was real, which in reality wasn't, and they tried to emulate it to a point that it became frustrating to play.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, even to this day, I can't play Jazz Jackrabbit on the higher difficulty. I've got to play it on a lower one, and I'm like half ashamed to say that, because I know my friends are going to be like, oh, I thought you beat that game in the highest difficulty. No, I didn't. I only beat it on, like, medium at most.
If I play so bad, I'll be able to unlock Super Pussy Mode.
Oh, God. I remember some of those games, too. They used to have cheat codes that would give you, like, one of them was a granny mode where it actually slowed everything down. Although, and it just felt like, you know, like, plodding along.
You know what? This reminds me of fucking putting the cheat codes in Battletoads Double Dragon, beating the game just to get the ending that says, oh, you cheated using the codes. You got to play it naturally. Like, motherfucker, you caught me.
Oh, God.
You caught me. You caught me with my hands on my dick.
Battletoads was off the TMNT craze.
You caught me with my hands on my dick.
No, but what's funny is, like, another couple of ones that I also played, too, because, like, now that I've got, you know, now that I've got the Amiga, and I've also been, like, going around, like, looking for games I used to play or I didn't play. Mm. One that I caught up with is Zool, Ninja of the Nth Dimension, which is basically, like, this gremlin ninja that comes from outer space, and he has the same thing. Like, he runs really fast, and his weapon is supposedly, like, swinging his sword like crazy.
But it doesn't contact. The hitbox sucks.
Yeah, the hitbox sucks. Oh, well, the Genesis version had a really bad hitbox. But the thing is, like, the PC version and the Amiga version are not much better because the gameplay sometimes gets, like, really janky.
Well, and again, this was during the time when they... And I remember that game because it was one of the few, I believe, released games for the fucking Atari Jaguar. That piece of shit.
Yeah. And, well, and also, too, because of the big plethora of Amiga to Genesis ports over here, too.
Yeah, definitely a lot of those. But, you know, that and fucking mascots, like, all that. Although there were some ones that I really liked. Like, I'm not saying I liked Awesome Possum, but, like, it's sad to know that fucking Rocket Knight Adventures only got, like, two sequels.
Oh,
and that was
God, this one, too, Sparkster!
And that was one knockoff, you know, one of those knockoff characters that was actually a good game, you know. But
it was genuinely good.
You know,
it was hard, but it was good.
It was good. It was hard, and yeah, it warranted a sequel. But it nothing beyond that. Where in reality, like, you know what, it was pretty good. You know, you liked it. You know, although yes, I do remember those old GamePro and I think GamePro ads that it had a picture of a dead possum, and you know, and I think it was trying to say like Sonic is a piece of shit and I'm awesome.
Yeah, but it's like. You know, I remember Sparkster was, like, what? They had Rocket Knight Adventures, you had Sparkster for the Super NES, and Sparkster for the Genesis, and that was, like, three separate games.
Yeah, but
they put out a recent one that wasn't even developed by Konami, it was outsourced, called Rocket Knight.
But it was just a remake of the first one.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, though, it's like with that one is that, like, they did the typical, like, two-dimensional gameplay but three-dimensional graphics, and they zoomed the camera too far away so you can barely see what's going on.
Yeah, there were certain things that they, you know, but again, it was all during that trying to revive. And, you know, you can't hurt him for trying, especially for that character. Out of all those knockoff characters trying to cash in on Sonic, that to me was like the only one, to me at least, that stood out, while others are talked about jokingly mostly.
Yeah. You know, Sparks was a genuinely good series, and it's like Konami just basically threw him to the ground and pissed on him.
Way before they decided to piss on Metal Gear and Silent Hill.
And every other franchise that they have.
Fucking Contra. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Contra, it's like Sparkster, I remember in Shattered Soldier for the PS2, had like a really secret cameo. That was like, he would come at you, like you would fight him briefly, and then he would just like dash off after you fought the battle.
Oh, yes. The last good Contra game for the PlayStation 2. But again, back to fucking Sonic, you know, the like I say, there isn't a game that sells systems, but when it comes to like Genesis and, you know, bringing in the Genesis to various households, you know, it was Sonic and it was their fake, you know, blast processing bullshit that caught on to us. You know, Genesis does what Nintendo.
Yeah. And also the other smart move too was, you know, then CEO of Sega of America, Tom Kalinske, saying to the Japanese division, we're replacing the pack-in for the Genesis from Altered Beast. We're going to replace it with Sonic the Hedgehog. And they're like, what?
And guess
this
what?
For real?
And again, that sold systems because of that lie. Yeah. Fucking blast processing.
Because,
it made
you know,
a fucking word.
Drop the price down. Yeah, drop the price down to $149.99. Throw in Sonic the Hedgehog because you
and
knew
throw
that
in some,
wanted Sonic.
And come on, you gotta admit, throw in some bullshit slang that people don't know, but it sounds catchy. Blast processing.
Yeah. I know, it was a marketing term. It was just, you know, people who knew how to program the Genesis, you know, basically, like, they got that thing flying, you know, they got that thing flying like a fucking rocket,
yeah,
essentially.
And again, I being one of the people who came late into the Genesis household, you know, for me it was...
I did too. I got mine senior year of high school.
Yeah, for me, I would say it's pretty much the same thing, where I was Nintendo, Super Nintendo, then Genesis, and even then, it was like in the middle of the... Like, pretty much when it was knocking him out of the park, pretty much when, like, Contra Hardcore, Castlevania Bloodlines...
Oh, so you were around, like, 94, 95 then.
Yeah, so pretty much it was like... near the end of its cycle, but when the good games were in the middle of the cycle, I would say, when all the good
right where the peak was.
Yes, I would that I would agree with that. So you know, I had this one point, I had this back catalog I needed to play, but then part two was like, oh my god, they got fucking Castlevania, Ninja Turtles, a new Ninja Turtle game. Mind you, I fucking never got to play Hyperstone Heist until like maybe 3 years ago when I finally bought it for like $50.
Oh my god. I only remember, like, you know, borrowing it from the video rental shop while they still had Genesis games on the shelf before they started slowly moving everything out for sixth generation titles.
You're fucking lucky. My video store never had mostly Nintendo, not much Sega, and when they did, those titles were always rented out. And then when Blockbuster came along, same deal. The good titles were always rented out, so I was like, guess I'll rent Excite, that Excite Bike game for the Super Nintendo, but it's with a tricycle. Uniracers.
Oh god, I forgot the name of that one.
Uniracers. Wasn't it Uniracers?
I never played that one.
Yeah, it was fun, but still, it was like it was no Contra Hardcore or fucking Castlevania.
I do have to thank though Funkoland for dropping the price down for the Genesis back around like 96 or so to something nice and affordable with, like, you know, plug, cable, two controllers, and a free packing game.
Then how much did you pay for your whole thing at Funkoland?
I paid $50.
$50. It's funny to know that.
One.
It's funny to know that even these days, that system is still that same price. Why the collector's market is
$50 with the cables and a pack-in.
It's funny how some game and system prices never change throughout the years.
I know, and I'm lucky because I've got one of the first runs of the Genesis.
Again, I got my Model 1. Funny part is, I got my Model...
Is yours a high-definition graphics model?
what is that? The fuck does that mean?
High definition graphics on the back before they started taking that little, you know, that little thing off the back.
Yeah, I don't think I have that one. I have the one. I guess the one. But I definitely have a Model 1. It doesn't have that, I believe. You know, the funny part is my first Sega Genesis was the Model 3.
Oh, the little Majesco one?
Yes, I have. That was my first. And then recently I bought myself my Model 1 because it just had the better options. And the Sega CD version for that is a lot better.
Oh, yeah, because I've got my Model 2 Sega CD sitting alongside my Model 1 Genesis and my nice 32X.
Why don't you just jerk off Sega's dick? I'm not kidding.
Sega Trinity.
Although Sega's connected to the Mafia, so I don't know. The Yakuza.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to do that.
I don't know. They're one of their top-selling games is Yakuza.
You know, the Genesis was the first 16-bit console that I got. You know, saving summer job money, that's how I got mine.
Oh, I got mine for Christmas. And like I told you, and I think many, those two listeners that remember, that I never asked or wrote a list. I just took pages from the circular, cut those fuckers out, and posted them on the note for Santa so he would know what the fuck it would look like. Because, you know, Lord knows I want to send a confused parent who only knows Nintendo or a name and come back with an Atari 2600 by accident or some shit like that.
Well, oh,
like,
no, the clerk in the store said that this is so much fun. You'll love it.
Yeah, fucking just hook it up to the TV. It plays Nintendo. What is this?
I kind of had a weird thing with that. You know, like the clerk in the store said it would be so much fun.
Oh, you know, again, clerks will say that. Especially during those times, because they just want to get that excess shit out of there, or B, they don't have it.
Or something that's like hot selling, and they'll be like, take it anyway.
Or again, they don't have it, but here's the next best thing, so they can get, you know, meet their quota for the day or some shit.
I know. Mine was Christmas 97.
Yeah.
That I wasn't even expecting this one, because I was expecting to get Saga Frontier for the PlayStation.
Why? Aren't you high class?
Well, yeah. And instead, you know what my mom came back with?
What?
Final Fantasy VII.
Anyway.
We got Final Fantasy VII, and I'm not going to complain. It's not my favorite Final Fantasy by a long shot, but I'm not going to dismiss it either. It's still a very good game.
You corporate sellout. Not kidding. You know,
it's like Final Fantasy VII at the same time is like embodies so much 90s. It's not even funny anymore.
It's people only know it because it became a commercial success. Even though the series had lasted forever, it has 6 titles.
Yeah, we did get 3 entries beforehand. We skipped 3 other entries.
No, but I mean the fact that it became the commercial. Why are we talking about Final Fantasy VII?
I got into the business thing.
Anyway, it's always. Here's a tip, kids. If you're asking Santa or your parents pretending to be Santa, you know, for a specific gift, don't write it down. Don't tell them. Take a blank piece of paper. Go to the nearest Sears catalog if they still fucking make that shit. Or, you know, newspaper, circular, Best Buy, or whatever. Take the piece of paper, cut out the actual image of the thing you want, and then post it on the note. Because then, when that confused Santa, or that parent dressed as Santa, or Lord knows who's buying this shit for you, goes into the store, they can automatically show the clerk, here, I want this. And the clerk can show them that exact thing, and then they buy it for you. Mm-hmm. No huss, no fuss, no muss.
No muss.
No.
Everybody's happy.
And no way, and no psychiatry bills.
No, I mean, like, you know, or you get something that you totally don't expect, like those two kids that got the Nintendo 64 for Christmas.
Hey, you know, those kids are fucking, apparently, they become a meme, but, you know, they were what all of us were experiencing when we got that system, that toy. Why are we talking about fucking Christmas and not Christmas, motherfucker?
Oh, I mean, like you said, you know, the whole thing, come on, like, when we were kids and these were, like, hot consoles, the Genesis and all that, and, like, we wanted them, but we didn't really get them like that. I mean, like, yeah, I got my Genesis because I saved summer, you know, summer job money, but it's, like, still, it felt like Christmas to me. I bought my own console with my own money. That's what it felt like. It felt so good.
I'm a man now. Suck my dick.
I'm a man.
Look at my dick. It grew 3 inches.
It grew three sizes that day.
It didn't grow out. It grew wide. Like a fucking puffer fish.
That is like the best feeling in the world, because like it's like your own little Christmas, and you've grown up. You bought your very first console with your very own money,
and at least you're wise enough to buy the good games. Unlike you walking in and hey, let me buy Back to the Future 2 and 3 for the Nintendo or the Sega Genesis.
I would have been like, I'm gonna take this back and I'm gonna trade it in for a different game. Thank you. Do you have the receipt?
LJN, those rainbows may look friendly, but they bring deviousness into your house. It's evil. It's cursed.
It could have been a lot worse. Back to the Future, you know, it could have been Marvel's X-Men, or no, the Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, again, we can go on and on about LJN, you know, and their shit. But that's maybe for another time. And if people want to contact you, or maybe give you some nice hints and tips about the new Sonic Mania game for consoles, whatever, how can they contact you?
You got the Facebook group, or find me on Twitter at Lambda Calculus. That's LambdaCalculus. Our official Twitter is at NRoadTripCast, and our new website is at NostalgiaRoadTrip.com.
Where our back catalog will be posted once or twice each week, as well as, again, if you want to find the earlier episodes,
they're on the Internet Archive as well.
We're in the Internet Archives, right next to, you know, all those sex bot requests that you keep getting. But till then,
some other weird Crate Dug stuff.
Exactly. You know, if you want to find GeoCity shit, that's the place for you. But till then, thank you so much, my friend, and I'll definitely see you next time.
Gotta go fast.